Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, we are going to break a story with a world-exclusive right here, broadcast report, exposing, tragically, yet another televangelist. And, of course, we're familiar with the names Ted Haggard, purchasing drugs, having sex with a homosexual prostitute in Denver, Ted Haggard from the megachurch in Colorado Springs. By the way, that was handled extremely well by the leaders of that church. Jimmy Swaggart caught with a prostitute. There was the PTL Club, Jim and Tammy Baker. In fact, we know about his downfall, but I will tell you a part of the story that's not been reported. They created their Heritage USA, and in that resort, there was an upscale restaurant on site, and there was a beauty salon, beauty parlor. And there was a homosexual that ran the beauty parlor. And he was a hairstylist. And Jimmy Baker would meet that homosexual at their upscale restaurant at Heritage USA nightly, 3, 4, 5 nights a week. And this is according to the receptionist who worked for Jimmy Baker at that restaurant, who later went to work when Heritage USA fell apart as a con, a scam. She went to work for the network that my program was broadcast also as a TV show for a number of years in the 1990s. She went to work for that network, worked with me. In fact, my wife and I, Cheryl, with 30 of our closest friends, we went to Israel for a couple weeks. And this receptionist, she was on that trip, and she told the story of how night after night, Jim Baker would meet this homosexual hairstylist in the corner booth, a secluded booth in a dark corner of this exclusive restaurant, and they would sit there for hours talking and giggling. And she said she was just shocked, dismayed. It was a tragedy unfolding before her eyes. And that part of the story, the homosexual relationship that was obviously there, was with that hairstylist, was never made public. But right now, right here on Bob and Your Live, it's been made public. But there is another leading televangelist that we're going to break the story. And we have audio that it's going to sound like it's undercover audio from a spy or something. This is the real deal. The book that's just come out, Thieves, by Trey Smith, tells the story of life inside the Murdoch home. And we have looked into this at some level. We didn't hire private investigators, but we believe that the author is credible. So what we're going to do, you know that today, February 1st, 2011, is the first day of our February telethon to keep Bob Benyart Live broadcasting on the most powerful Christian radio station in America, AM 670 KLTT. Well, we want you to know that when you give a dollar to Bob Benyart Live, when you donate here, the funds that you've sacrificed to raise and then to give, they are being used to honor the Lord. They're being used for the gospel and to protect the innocent. So that is not always true with the money that we give. So now let's listen to this audio. And this is, again, this is a world exclusive, the broadcast report of a brand new book just out, Thieves, by Trey Smith.
My name is Trey Smith. I am the man that robbed the television evangelist Mike Murdoch. This is not a joke. This is not a prank. This is most certainly not a hoax. This is real. This is as real as it gets. This is a true story based on my experiences and my opinions of those experiences. I did not write this book to be arrogant about what I did. What I did was wrong. What I did was absolutely wrong, despite any thoughts that may have justified it in my own mind at the time. In fact, there's a great many things in this story that I am ashamed even to lay into your hands for you to read. More than that, there are those out there that certainly don't want me talking about exactly what I'm going to be talking about. There are those that do not want me to tell you the one thing that seems to frighten them most. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you about the Mike Murdoch safe robbery. I'm going to tell you about the events that led up to the robbery. I'm going to tell you about the events that came after the robbery. I'm going to tell you about the safe robbery itself. I'm going to tell you about the years that I spent on the run. I'm going to tell you the reasons that I never ended up in prison. Despite what Mike may have told the world, I'm going to tell you what was inside that box. More than all of this, I'm going to tell you the events that led me into the high upper circles of modern-day Christian television. And I'm going to tell you about the pursuit for the grand God of all gods and higher-level Christian ministry, the dollar bill. Let me be very clear about this. I do believe there are many fine and upstanding men and women in Christian television. I just never was involved with any of those people. So to be fair, I'm only going to focus on the one bad apple I personally came to know best. I'm going to focus on that inner circle of Christianity, of that circle of Christian television ministry. I'm going to tell you some tough things. I'm going to tell you about the lies. I'm going to tell you about the secrets. I'm going to tell you about the greed, the deception, the manipulation, the backroom deal, sex, and the sort. I am going to tell you everything. That being said, if you, a loved one, family member, friend, brother, sister, uncle, cousin, your own grandmother, has given to, is giving to now as much as $1 to anyone on Christian television, then you need to read this. You need to know where your money may be going. I'm not going to lie to you. There are some very tough, rugged parts of this story. It's raw. But real life isn't rated PG-13. Certainly not in the back rooms of Christian television. At least the places that the cameras don't go. I'm not telling you that I don't believe in God. I do believe in God with every single ounce of my heart. I just don't believe in the Mike Murdochs of this world or anyone like them. My prayer is this, that in all the bad that has happened, that some good may come. My prayer is this, that this book may open some of your eyes, just a tiny, tiny bit. My prayer is that this book will change some things that have gone far too long overlooked. And Mike, this part's for you. So look at the screen while I tell you this. I am not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of your goons. I'm not afraid of your security ushers. I'm not afraid of your attorneys. I am not afraid of any big, bad, mean thing you may dream up to deal with this. What I'm saying to you is this, Mike. You're not buying your way out of this one. For everyone else, this is a true story. It's a story about a dirty television evangelist and the man who robbed him. So the title is exactly what it should be, Thieves. I'm Trey Smith. I was there. These are my opinions. These are my experiences. This is my life as I lived it, one frame at a time. Brace yourselves, because there is no doubt of this one single fact. You are about to go on a ride. You are about to go on a ride. Enjoy the story.
Wow, the book is Thieves by Trey Smith. And Thieves, plural, there are the accusations against Mike Murdoch, the televangelist, that he's a thief. And then there is Trey Smith, who tells the story of robbing Mike Murdoch, stealing a safe from his home. Now, in his bedroom, there were closets, and I want to ask Trey Smith, the author of Thieves. Trey, you were there. You were in Mike Murdoch's secret closet.
Mike Murdoch's home is actually called Hacienda de Paz. So when you're talking about Mike Murdoch's closet, what you're actually talking about here, to get to this closet, you are talking about going outside of Dallas, about 35 miles outside of Dallas, onto a piece of property with security fences, security gates. Mm-hmm. In that same time period, you had exotic animals there, such as a pet lion. You go through three electronic doors to make it to this closet that we're talking about. So this, and this is a mammoth closet. This isn't the closet where he keeps his clothing or his suits or that type of thing.
That's actually another closet in his bedroom.
Right. His personal attire and all that is kept in a different closet. In the closet where the safe was, he has four cabinets. Technically, there were five. One, two, three, four. No, technically, there were six things in that closet. There were four cabinets, one safe, and then he had this refrigerator-style box. It was a cardboard box. Jason used to call that box the Box of Pain.
Jason Murdoch,
who
Mike Murdoch's adopted son.
Right.
Do you know how old he was when he was adopted?
You know, I'm not sure the answer to that, but he was just a baby when they adopted him.
All right. And then they ended up getting a divorce, right?
Yes.
So where did he grow up in his early years?
For the most part, he lived with my family, but he was in the custody of his mother.
Who lived nearby.
Right. Yes.
So you guys grew up as childhood friends. He's in your house. And then eventually he ends up back with his dad.
At 13.
Trey, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we have a copy of the book Thieves. It's one of the first 100 copies to be printed. And my producer.
That is the first copy.
The first copy we were given. And my producer, Will Duffy, read this book cover to cover. In fact, they couldn't put it down. In fact, his wife, Danielle, was 9 months, heavy with child. And they both say that this book put her into labor. And after their baby was born, Will was reading aloud from the book to his wife, and an audience gathered in the hotel room. People couldn't stop. You couldn't put the book down. They couldn't stop listening to it. So I've only read sections, but Will has given me a full report of the account in the book. So, Jason, you and Jason Murdoch grew up together.
Yes.
And I had asked you about the closet in Mike Murdoch's bedroom. I asked that to help the audience begin to understand how it could be that you would be in their home. You guys grew up together, but could we go to the closet? Let's stay there for a moment.
Inside Mike Murdoch's closet, you've got four cabinets. One of them holds coins. The other one holds loose jewelry, things like rings, bracelets, necklaces, that kind of thing. The other cabinet had a stamp collection. I mean, just an incredible, and when I say cabinets, these were very massive. There are two on each side of the room. There are two cabinets that are very large. Now, the last cabinet is the only one that has locked drawers in Mike Murdoch's closet. And that's the one where he kept all of his pornography, unmentionable type of stuff.
Mm.
So you've got a coin cabinet, you've got a jewelry cabinet, you've got a stamp collection, and then you have kind of the unmentionables. Mm. Now, in the back of the closet, actually, the thing that really had gotten to me on one occasion, and we used to, mind you, Jason and I used to spend hours in that closet, and there were lots of times we took things you could fit in the palm of your hand, and literally, I remember walking into a pawn shop one time in Dallas, and the pawn shop man's hand trembled from a single ring. He was trying to rub it on one of those stones to check if it was costume jewelry. Mm. And you've got to imagine there are cabinets full to such a degree you could take handfuls of these things and Mike wouldn't notice. That's how much there is.
But he wouldn't notice. In other words, you could go pawn these things for money for two rebellious teenagers to party for the weekend, and he wouldn't notice that these things were disappearing.
Progressively, it became darker and darker, and it in the interactions with Mike and in the interactions with Jason at the time at Christ for the Nations, it began with noble pursuits, but it let me phrase it like this: it becomes difficult in the end. I don't even know how Mike does it to live as a rock star in one arena and then clean up and look fresh Sunday morning.
Well, that fourth cabinet then in the secret closet.
Well, it's not a secret closet, but it's
a very well protected closet.
Right, right.
That had what you said was the unmentionables.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
And so from the book, it's filled with pornography.
Okay, well, it's got more than that in it. One of the drawers that is actually in that cabinet, Mike keeps pictures of females he's actually been together with. So
now these accusations of Mike Murdoch and sexual immorality are widespread on the internet because of the young women, a parade of women around Mike Murdoch going to his ministry. But this now is a firsthand account of things that you witnessed.
Sure. It's, in fact, one of the reports that I had read on the internet when I was putting together this book out of Fort Worth. Barbie from the Star-Telegram stated that very few ever get beyond the gate with the double M's on it, which stands for Mike Murdoch's home. That is
right.
Hacienda de Paz. Yeah, there are very few people that it is a firsthand account.
Mm-hmm. It's a firsthand account because the other accusations are based on people's guesses or assumptions of what might be going on behind closed doors.
Right.
And so, by the way, we're speaking with Trey Smith, author of Thieves, A True Story, One Dirty TV Pastor, and The Man Who Robbed Him. And so this is not only a cabinet of pornography.
Right.
It's also homemade pornography.
It's homemade pornography and also pictures that there are women that do send him nude pictures of themselves for, you know, whatever cause, and he collects those in a drawer as well. So it's the pornography is more well organized than his coin collection. I'll tell you that right now.
Wow. Trey, I've been on the air for 20 years, and the things we've gotten in the mail are pretty astounding.
Right.
A number of things that are pretty despicable. And for all those years, from the beginning of the show, when we were on in 80 cities, five nights a week, on TV for an hour, Honolulu to Orlando, we would get homosexuals, lesbians, whoever, send in store-bought porn or home-produced porn. And our staff opens all the mail at Bob and Yurt Live. They have full access to my personal email account. They have full access to my phone, passwords. We are as open as we could be because of the potential, one, for sin, and two, for false accusations. And so here, in this case, the idea of televangelist creating his personal pornography stash, we understand the temptation is there. It's tragic then that it happens.
The thing that really had bothered me the most on one occasion while I was in Mike's closet, actually the first occasion that I had ever been in there with Jason.
You want to talk about coming out of the closet? This is a...
No, I was going to talk to you about being inside the closet.
No,
the times that I was inside Mike Murdoch's
this
closet.
This is right. This is a literal application of that concept.
Yes.
Only you're outing someone else's closet.
Yes. In that closet, there is a refrigerator box. The only cabinet that is not, the only thing in there that is not gorgeous and grandiose or golden or shiny is an ugly refrigerator box at the back that used to sit next to that safe. inside that box, it was so full you could stick your hand literally inside the top of it. And I remember the first time I saw it. Jason says this is called the box of pain, and he pulls out a ring, just sort of not really a very expensive one, not a nice one like you would get from the closet.
Yeah.
And Mike tapes the tithe slips. Now, he always asked for $58. There's a reason he asked for that specific amount.
For years, he's asked, and he's taken in tens of millions of dollars.
Yes. Yeah, he's bought jet planes off people that can't afford to give $58. Inside that box, and I won't tell you what's inside the safe. You need to peek inside the book for that. But
yeah. It's extraordinary what is inside the safe. You've agreed, Trey, to answer these questions that I'm asking you, but we did agree. I think it's worth people finding out what was inside the safe by reading the book.
Well, I'm a guy that when I see a movie trailer, I'd like there to be something left to find when I sit through the movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, now to get back to that box of pain. Here we are at the refrigerator box, reaching in, pulling out a ring, not a very valuable one, and taped to it is a tie slip that says, I can't remember exactly what it said, but my grandmother is dying of cancer. I didn't have the $58 to give. Will you take this ring that belonged to my father? He pulls out, and Jason says there's a whole box full of this. Mm-hmm. And these are what we define as quote-unquote throwaway people. That's a term that's not only used, right, by Jason in reference to what comes out of that box. That is a term that is used when you are sitting there in the inner circle meetings with Mike Murdoch on Thursday nights. That's what it's
the
defined
throwaway
as.
Throwaway people who can't give $58, or he has asked people, if you don't have cash, send in something of value.
Right. He collects these, and there's a box so large of little bitty trinkets, old watches, and they all have the ties slipped, taped to them. So if it's a watch or a ring or a little gold necklace or something that doesn't particularly have valuable, that's why it's called a box of pain. This is real. This is not a joke, Bob.
So when the media...
And it would bring tears to your eyes when you're actually... You read through four or five of these and hear these heartbreaking stories. He's got a box of this, and that man will laugh about it in the back room or be mad. That's either what he does.
Mad because they didn't cough up the bucks.
You know what's funny about the book Thieves is that the few people that have read it that know Mike personally, and some of these are my, you know, family members or those that are close, and I can't be certain how Jason is going to respond to this book.
Mm-hmm.
He'll probably side with his father. I don't know. But where I'm going with that is this. Mike Murdoch is probably the angriest person that I've met, and those that know him and have read the book have said to me, you've captured him. And I worked really hard at doing that, to actually capture Mike Murdoch and what it is like being around him.
And so he's angry at these people the throwaway people who only gave him cheap jewelry or whatever.
Well, he gets angry a lot. I think you're going to be shocked
Trey,
at some of the things.
When the media has reported on his salary, it's similar to Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson for years said, you know, I only take a salary of $60,000 a year, and today he's a billionaire.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a billionaire.
Well,
so how do you get from he and his son end up owning hundreds of TV stations all over the country because people sent in their hard-earned money, and they were buying TV stations, and it turns out they were owned personally by Pat Robertson and his son. That's how they became billionaires. That's why they have diamond mines in Africa now. But when the media would report on Mike Murdoch's income, it would only look like $100,000 a year or whatever, because there are all these ways of scamming the IRS and scamming the donors. Now, we're almost out of time, but would you be able to stay in the studio and we'll continue the discussion and we'll air this later this week?
Yeah,
continuation.
I would love to, Bob. I tell you, it sounds like what you're telling me is that there are men out there that have got billions of dollars that are trying to decide what jet plane they want to buy. And I've personally sat here and saw you at a time where you wish you had the extra money to save one more baby. I hope that you get every penny that you...
Thank you, Trey. In fact, months ago, many months ago, you approached me knowing that I'm a Christian broadcaster, and you said up front that you were working on an expose of a Christian broadcaster.
I was nervous to talk to anybody else.
Well, I appreciate you talking to me and that you're going to do this for financial and moral wrongdoing. And years ago, Westword, the Denver Underground newspaper, they did an expose on me like 8 pages long. And Michael Roberts came and to the studio, to my home with my family, and he wanted to see our financials. And I just gave him our financials. Here's our financials. And Trey, we gave you full access to not only our circle of friends and volunteers, but to our staff, to our BEL studio, to our financial records of Bob and Yurt Live and Denver Bible Church. You have ongoing access to those records. So this, we need to continue the story, but we're doing this on the first day of the Bob and Yurt Live telethon. We truly need financial support to continue our outreach to tell people the truth about the Lord, the gospel, protecting the innocent, and exposing the corruption in the highest places within the Christian community. And so this book is extraordinary. I'd like to tell the audience, if you want to help us with our Bob and Yurt Live Telethon for February to stay on for another year, we are asking people to give either $20 a month or help us toward our goal of $20,000 this month. And we truly need these funds to stay on the air. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Our website you could give online is kgov.com. The gift is Thieves, One Dirty TV Pastor and the Man Who Robbed Him. That man is Trey Smith, our guest today. And Trey, thanks for agreeing to come right back on the show.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. So again, 800-8-NYART, we need your help.
Would you like to study the Bible but don't really know where to start? Bob and Yurt's seminar on hermeneutics, tools for studying the Bible, will help you to study and understand the Bible on a whole new level. Hermeneutics, tools for studying the Bible, is available by calling 1-800-8-NYART, or you can get the MP3 CD or the MP3 download at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.